All right. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spiders. For anybody that follows my Facebook page, I posted up what we're going to be doing today, and we're already having a blast. I think it's taken us about 45 minutes to get set up. But long story short, I have been planning for a long time to interview other people or to have other people on the show to talk about tarantulas, and we are now at a point where we're settled in the house, and I'm ready to go with this. It's just I really wanted to try out the software I'll be using first to make sure it's actually going to work, because when it's me by myself up here and something goes wrong, it's easy for me to fix it. When there's somebody else, you just add so many other elements to it, so many other things that could go wrong. So while discussing with Billy, I asked her if she wanted to come on with me and kind of test this thing out. And then while I was thinking about it, I was like, we might as well just have Billy on as our first guest and do an interview for her, because obviously she is a huge part of this. She does all the filming for me. She's been incredibly supportive. She's actually kind of dug a bit into the tarantula hobby as of late. So without any further ado, we have Billy here. Billy, you can go ahead and say hi now. We didn't rehearse this
before. Hi, everybody.
And hopefully this doesn't come across as too awkward, because it's bizarre having her. She's basically down the bedroom right now because it was the more quiet of the rooms in the house. I am up in the tarantula room, and we've already gone through one microphone. I bought a microphone for it that didn't particularly work, so she's using the new gaming headset that I bought that apparently works great. I haven't gotten to use it again, but it sounds like it's working all right. So what we did is we solicited questions, because a lot of you guys have had interest in Billy and wanted to talk to Billy. We did a thing where she actually did a rehousing on YouTube about a year and a half ago or so. And the thing is, it's not that we're trying to have people that like get on me and like, why are you keeping Billy in the shadows? It's not that we're trying to keep her in the shadows. I try to keep myself out of my videos. It's like I'm not a YouTuber that wants to be out there and all over. You won't see pictures of me in my thumbnails. I don't hang out all the time talking. My goal is to go out there, kind of introduce it like the old nature videos, introduce what I'm going to do, and then get into showing actual spiders. Nobody needs to look at me. So it's not that we're trying to keep her out of it. She's a huge integral part of it. She does all the filming. You can tell when I take the filming duties by myself, because everything's all jittery. She gets right in there close, gets the good footage that we use that the majority of you guys are seeing on the YouTube pages. So we did solicit some questions. We've got a whole bunch of them, so we'll see how this goes. We're going to plan on for an hour. I mean, if we can get an hour of quiet in this house, it'll be a minor miracle. Folks that miss the dogs clicking in the background and the dogs licking and the dogs farting will probably get to hear some of that, because they're going to be downstairs the whole time. There's not two quiet rooms in the house. I can lock them out of the tarantula room. We can't really lock them out of the bedroom. I'm sure one of the kids will wander down eventually, half asleep, and talk too. So just heads up. But again, trying this out, it should be a lot of fun. I know a lot of people have had questions to ask her, and we've got a lot of questions. So without further ado, I'm going to do my part, read the questions off, although Billy's got them in front of her as well. She has reviewed them, so she's aware of what she's going to be answering. But it should be interesting as it goes, because some of them are pretty tough questions. So the first one, Caleb Hill. Hey, Tom, been trying to get a hold of you for a bit. Sent some emails on Facebook messages. Would love to chat. All right, that obviously is not a question for Billy. We took care of that one already. Moving on to the next one. Eric Topping. What's her top three favorite species? So we'll start with that. Top three favorite species.
Top three favorite species would be the HMAC. I think it's an absolutely gorgeous spider. That was a rehousing we did a while ago that I was like really, really close to the spider, and it was just absolutely beautiful. I was just struck by how gorgeous it was. The P. antinus is another one of my favorites. Just a big, beautiful spider. Every time I go up to the tarantula room, I have to look at that spider, and I'm just fascinated with how beautiful and big it is. It's just gorgeous. And probably the OBT. I've read a lot of horror stories online by other people saying that their OBT is nuts and it's crazy. And Tom's just kind of sits there and just, it's just a beautiful girl. She's just beautiful coloration, and I just think she's fascinating. So those would probably be my three favorite ones, although I had a hard time with this because I actually like quite a few of them. They all have different characteristics and colors and shapes and personalities even. But yeah, those are probably my top three. But again, it's tough on narrowing it down.
I can never narrow it down either, which is why I don't do a lot of those lists, because I do one and then as soon as I put one out, I come downstairs and like, oh, I can't believe I forgot that one. So I totally appreciate that. And as far as the OBT, I'm glad you like her, because we obviously have that rehousing coming up, and hopefully she continues to behave for us. She's been a sweetheart from day one. Not to negate the fact that some people obviously have ones that are a little more high strung, but we've just lucked out with ours. The second part of that question, this one I'm sure a lot of people are going to be wondering about. I'm curious about it as well. Also, any words of wisdom for a hobby spouse? I'll make sure my wife listens to this one. I'll just interject. Let them buy anything they want.
No. That depends on the personality of your spouse, because I actually have no problem with any animals we have here. We have scorpions and spiders and dogs and all kinds of other critters. So I've always been totally into any kind of critter we get. And words of wisdom, if you have a problem with something, I would say don't be snarky about it. Just come out and, I mean, spiders are like one of the easiest pets. They're just on a shelf, they're in a little box. It's so much easier to deal with them, excuse me, a lot easier to deal with than what, you could have a big 20-foot snake, you could have an annoying dog, you could have an annoying cat. There's a bunch of other pets that are a lot more difficult to deal with than spiders. So if your spouse is into spiders, it's like have them putting up, if you're freaked out about tarantulas, then have them put them in a room you can't see them very often. But you go in there and you look at them, and it's like it gets interesting and more interesting, and just try to be part of what your spouse is into, because you can actually connect with them and find that you have similar interests with them. Or maybe your spouse, whether it's a guy or girl, help feed them, and it's really interesting. And I don't know, I think there's a lot more things in life to get freaked out about than if your spouse likes a tarantula. So words of wisdom is just it's not a big deal, and a lot of people make it a big deal, but it's really not. Of course, I really enjoy it, so I'm probably not the best person to ask that question.
Well, that's tough because you were, on board with this from day one. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that it's something you can do together, show interest. Like, everybody's going to have hobbies. It drives me nuts because it's spiders. It's obviously big, hairy spiders. It's a huge phobia. A lot of us started with arachnophobia. I do get that aspect of it. But I think, like you said, when you have a significant other, you're going to have hobbies you share. You're going to have hobbies that are different. Hopefully, you're showing interest in each other's hobbies. And I think a big thing is to try to enkindle that interest in the hobby. They are fascinating animals. I can't tell you how many people, even through a quick 15-minute conversation, start off with the burn 'em, kill 'em, type stuff. How could you do that? How can anybody marry you? How does your wife live with that? That type of stuff. And then by the end of the conversation, are totally fascinated. And I know, having spoken to people over the years that had spouses that weren't quite keen on it at first, it starts off with the old, you can get one, you can get two. And I can't tell you how many instances there are where you hear a year later where they go, yeah, my wife just ordered her first two, or my husband just ordered his first tarantula. It's one of those things. It's very, if you present it the right way and don't make it combative and don't make it something that you're fighting over, don't do the sneak them in the house thing. That doesn't work. But if it's something where you kind of enkindle that interest and allow them to share that interest with you, I think it's going to go a lot easier. Now, again, Billy from day one never had an issue. I don't know if this is one of the questions, but I basically, when we moved out together, I go, I want to get a tarantula. And she's like, okay. And we got bargain news, and we went through and we found somebody that sold a tarantula. There was never a discussion over it. There was never a convincing period. So I think it's probably a tough one for her to answer, and she's been on board since day one. But I do think the point of sharing each other's, interests and hobbies, or at least showing a cursory interest in it, is hugely important. I'm sorry, that wasn't my question, but I thought you nailed it. And I do. I have people all the time asking me about this and trying to get interested, trying to get spouses interested, or trying to get spouses to even let them have one period. Sometimes it's like, all right, I have three, but I really want to get more. The problem is, you show what we do, and then you see somebody has 200 plus, and they probably won't let you have any because they realize how addictive it can be.
Well, honestly, when you love somebody, you want to be part of whatever they're interested in. So it's a kind of a give and take relationship that, you want your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend to be into what you're into, and basically can strengthen your relationship down the road, because then, you can talk about, this one or that one or just the one you have.
Yeah. And obviously, a lot of our conversation, you were kind of stuck because I was so into it. You were listening to it all the time anyway, but you've always been good at,
Still.
like, and still listening to it. But no, I agree. I think it's definitely a part of just, part of a relationship. I think setting parameters is an important thing, and agreeing to some rules right off the bat. I think for somebody, especially who's iffy about it, and I think this is where sometimes people get themselves into trouble and back themselves into a corner, but being able to say, all right, I'm going to only keep them restricted to this room, that can help sometimes. Or I'm only going to get some people,
Definitely.
it's only New World species. I've heard that one before. And then what ends up happening, that could be the rule, that rule could remain. Or as they get more interested and they start seeing, oh, they're not that bad, a lot of times you see those parameters start to change. But I do think that's important, getting in, especially if somebody is uneasy about it. Educate them, let them know they're not as bad as everybody thinks. Limit, you know, say this is what we're going to get and work it from there. And hopefully they show some type of interest. So if they don't, I've had many people that come on and make comments. Yeah, my ex-girlfriend wouldn't let me have any, so I curbed her and stuff like that. And it's like, all right, that might be too far. Hopefully you had more going than that. But if they're dead set against it, that could be an issue if you're really into them. All right. Moving on to the next one. Sorry about that. Elaine Curtis. Hiya, Billy. I know you help Tom a lot, but are there any spiders in the collection that really scare you?
The only one that scared me was when we were rehousing the P. Metallica communal. That totally freaked me out. I was just envisioning all these things going wrong. And I wasn't so much scared of the spiders. I was just scared of something happening. And thank God I didn't. I was just like filming it. But as far as the Sturmey, and we have so many different species and none of them scare me. I mean, I've been into animals my whole life, none of them really scare me, except that just had me a little freaked out. But yeah, so just the P. Metallica communal rehousing, that was about it.
Yeah, that was the only one I think I can remember when we got done and you were like, oh, thank God. And of course,
I was dying.
The fact that I kept forgetting to put the cap back on was kind of made it a little more stressful for her, I think, because she was kind of, and she's always, that's the one thing that never gets stated enough. She's not really just there for the camera. The rule of thumb is always if anything goes wrong, drop the camera. That's secondary. I can't stand when I see stuff on YouTube where people are goofing around with the camera and they let a mail get eaten or something escapes and they're too busy trying to film it than trying to keep the spider and everybody safe. Our rule of thumb has always been she can drop the camera and help out. And she does more than that because sometimes she's holding the camera. She's handing me things. She's moving containers. She's moving enclosures. She's letting me know when I'm being a doofus and not putting the cap back on the catch cup. All very important things that really help contribute to the rehousings we have all being rather uneventful, exactly the way we like them. But I do remember that one in particular. We were like afterwards, I'm like, oh, that went great. And you're like, oh my God. Because it really did go, I thought it went well. But afterwards, she's like, I just pictured these things scattering all around the house. But the good thing is we start, obviously we've done a lot of these. We record so many rehousings. And I think at least I'm starting to get to a point where I'm feeling, I don't want to say more, I've been confident for a while now. But just starting to recognize you go through the worst case scenarios and you plan for them. And I think that in that case, we had some things in place where if one of them bolts, then we close the whole thing down, we go get the other one. But yeah, I do remember that one being particularly hairy. The stressful. Funny one, the one that should have been, I think there's a question later on, we won't get into it right now, but the one that could have been a bit of a debacle, you never lost your cool on until I told you what spider it was. Like, oh yeah. God, but we'll get to that one in a minute. So great question, Elaine. Next one, Christopher Tyler Willis. Billy, when did it set in that Tom was going full tilt into the hobby? Did you have any reservations?
Let's see. So when you first got the Queen rip, her already, but you got the spider because you were freaked out about spiders and you wanted to get a spider and kind of get over your fear. And I always like, you know, pick up spiders and throw them outside all the time. I'm just used to that. So when he got the first tarantula and then I think you realized that you could get them online or go to you can't sell them in Connecticut, so you can't go to a pet store in Connecticut, but there's pet stores in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And when he started picking them up, I was no reservations at all. I've always been like into animals in general, so if he got 10 to 15 the first time, I would have been like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever, good deal. So I never had a problem at all with him getting into this full tilt.
And I think that was the moment, and I think we both joked about it because I remember you going, oh, God, here we go. When I can remember sitting in the computer, turning around and going, man, there's a lot of them out there. I could see me having like 30 of these. And you're like, oh, here we go. Because she's obviously, we've been together for years since we were 18. I collect a lot of different things. She's seen me get into different hobbies before. She's seen how quickly that can escalate into a huge collection. So I think she probably recognized, we joked about it the first night I was looking them up online. And she's like, I could see us having 100 of these. And I'm like, no, 30. We were both wrong. But it's one of those things when you get into the hobby, it's incremental at first. I think what happens is you pick up a couple and then you pick up a couple more and then you have like five or six and then you pick up a few more. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, my Lord, I have 20 of them. And I'm sure a lot of people listening out there have been in that position where, you know, you have 20 and then, well, if we have 20, I might as well have 30. And if I have 30. So it's kind of all of a sudden it's one of those deals where you walk in the room and you look and it's like, whoa, what happened here? I know when Billy and I moved recently, where it really kind of hit how many we had is when we moved them into the new tarantula room. And we came up and looked around the room like, how the heck did we have this many spiders in the other room? Like, you really got to see the collection spread out. And I know you came up here and were like, how did we do this?
Shocked. Yeah, shocked. I mean, I think you had snakes, though, before you had the tarantulas. And that too, kind of, like, got into, I mean, the albino Burmese python was stretched across the entire living room in the other house. So I was kind of used to these
it's that a was wonderful, like, pet when you don't like entertaining guests.
So it was kind of like the tarantulas are so much easier than the snakes. Yeah. They take up so much less room. So
yeah, that's a good point. We had 1.4. We were joking about our last house was tiny. Our first house was tiny. And we had one bedroom that they never ran the vents for the forced hot air heat in. So my excuse was, well, the kids can't be in here because there's no heat. But I heat all my snakes separately. So we had like a snake room with like 40 snakes. But the big one, the Burmese albino Burmese python, was in one of the huge 4x4x8 foot cages right smack dab in the middle of our tiny living room. So, it was a great conversation piece. It was wonderful when you had folks over and it would decide to go to the bathroom right in the middle of a movie. And it sounded terrible. It smelled terrible. And, you know, people were automatically disgusted by snakes. So it was good times. That's true. When you go from that to tarantulas, where the biggest, you know, enclosure I have is like a 15-gallon right now, it's space-wise, it's not quite as crazy. All right, next one from Rosalinda Mendez. What is your favorite part of the new house?
Well, the house is much bigger, and which is great, and Tom has his own space, which is great, because we're not rehousing tarantulas on the kitchen table anymore. So, but my favorite part of the house is probably the kitchen, because I absolutely love to cook. I enjoy it so much, and the kitchen is bigger than my last kitchen, and I can do a lot more with it. So I would have to say the kitchen's probably my favorite room in the house, although I love the house. I mean, I just love it. But see, the kitchen is...
I thought you were going to go fireplace.
But that's not a room.
The kids have been introduced to Billy's pyromania.
Oh, jeez. God.
Is Mom okay, Dad? Yep, she's all right.
I would do a fire every single night if they would let me, but there's just no way. Plus, the wood would be gone in like 2 days. But the fireplace is definitely the favorite thing in the house, but the favorite room in the house is the kitchen.
I'll take that. That works. I was wondering.
What I was really going to say fireplace, but I'm like, that might be a little weird.
I just picture that gleam you get in your eye when the fire goes up. And literally, the kids are looking at me like, is she all right?
Yeah, I just stand in front of it and keep moving wood. It's fantastic.
That's a fire. All right, Warren Voschel or Voschel. And let me apologize. I have this thing about mispronouncing people's names, so a huge apology if I butcher your name. I'm going to do the same thing I do with the Latin names of spiders, is pronounce them both ways I think it could be pronounced. So Warren Voschel or Voschel. My family and I live on a small farm here in southern Arkansas. House flies are thick during the summer. I used to have one of the pest control companies come out and spray, but stopped this 3 years ago when we got into keeping tarantulas. We have a modest collection now, and I'm terrified of accidentally poisoning them while trying to poison the flies. Is there anything we can do to reduce the fly population without having to worry about our tarantulas? And we kind of went through this as well a couple summers ago with the fly issue, so I get absolutely where you're coming from here. So I will pass this one over to Billy.
Okay, so flies are usually probably going to be breeding the manure outside if you have a barn. And then they're going to go invade the house because there's just a huge population of flies. So the best thing to do would be bait on the outside. There's a couple different baits. There's Maxforce granular fly bait. There's Alpine fly bait that comes in an aerosol. You can spray it on the outside of the windows in the barn, on the outside of the windows of the house. It works great. Flies die within about 60 seconds. There's a couple different things you can actually do to the manure itself, but granular fly bait is a great way to control the flies without having any issues with them getting into the tarantula room. I mean, just treat them from the outside. Don't do anything on the inside. And that's the best way to go about it.
And I can say that we've used some of these products around our house, and it freaked me out at first, like really freaked me out at first. And Billy can probably attest to that. Like, I don't want pesticide anywhere near here. I don't want it around the house, but never had an issue. So it has worked fine for us. So it is something we've encountered as well, so I can tell you the advice is good. There's no, we've not lost anything from them. But I had the same issue. Like, I remember freaking out when you were putting that stuff out there. Like, what happens if a fly gets on him, comes in, and the tarantula happens to catch it? Not the most logical thing in the world, but I think those of us that keep invertebrates worry all the time about pesticides because we know what they can do to them. All right, next one is from Elizabeth Stark. Hi, Billy. Do you have a favorite tarantula or maybe species out of the collection? And if you do, what one? We kind of covered this already, but if you want to hit it.
The HMAC is probably my favorite. Just because when we were rehousing the tarantula, I got very close to the tarantula and it was just sitting there chill. And I'm like, this is such a beautiful creature. It's just gorgeous. And again, I mean, the OBT is gorgeous. The Pianus is gorgeous. There's every time though that Tom goes to rehouse a spider, I get a new appreciation for how gorgeous these animals are. Even though sometimes they go nuts, sometimes they do things that aren't expecting, but they're all just so fascinating that we'll probably do a rehousing tomorrow and I'll be like, oh, this is my new favorite because it's just such a cool spider. But, you know, HMAC is my go-to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been pretty consistent in that one from day one. You actually liked it before the, which I think that story will probably come up in a couple minutes, so we don't want to jump the gun on that, but you've always said the HMAC. And the nice thing is mine have been hanging out quite a bit out in the open lately, which has been fantastic. Usually they're much more secretive. So I actually, speaking of which, I have a picture I got to show you afterwards.
So oh, cool.
Next one. We giggled about this. Wait, am I on the right? Yeah. Whitley Bryan. Does Billy have a favorite hobby or collection?
So Tom has more than one hobby. So I kind of adopted his hobby. So, I mean, cooking is one of the things I absolutely love to do, but that's not really a hobby. That's just a necessity, especially in this house with how everybody loves to eat. I really enjoy cooking and I would probably, I cook as much as I can because I just love it. But, as far as a hobby goes, scotch hunting, it might be one of my hobbies because I don't drink scotch, but I always, Tom drinks scotch. So I'm always on the lookout for a new scotch to bring him home and surprise him with. So it's a scavenger hunt as far as trying to find scotches that are peaty or smoky because that's his favorite. So when I come across different scotch, I get it and I'm really happy. It's just like, oh, good, I got another one. You can try this. And I take care of the feeder insects. So it's not really, it's more of a job than a hobby, but that's what I do too. And I do work a lot. So between my work and taking care of the kids and the animals and everything else around here, I don't really have time, honestly, for hobbies or collections. And that's okay because I'm not bemoaning the fact. I actually like staying busy. I just kind of, when you have a husband or a wife that has so many different interests and you love them, you kind of just adopt those interests and they become your own.
Man, everybody's going to think like I'm sitting here got you working as my slave over here.
No, it's not that at all.
It's funny though, because we always joke that, and I remember trying to get you like paints and over the years, like for holidays and stuff, trying to get you stuff. And it's like, she's always kind of just slid into whatever I've been into. And I will say, like, when we first started dating, when you first came into my house, you saw I had video games. You're like, you have video games? You have a Nintendo? And it was like the greatest thing ever. So kind of jibed as far as we read together. We both were readers, avid readers. So there were some stuff, you know, that you did before we met that was kind of just jibed with what I did. But I think I lucked out in the fact that I will pick up a hobby and it's something that she's like, may not be the one doing it herself, but you can't have, like, for example, movies. We watch a lot of movies here. I buy so many movies that if Billy were to buy more movies, we'd never have enough time in the day to do it. So I think we enjoy doing a lot of things together. But no, you really haven't since I've known you. You do read, or did read.
I just don't have a lot of time right now to read. I wish I did. But I mean, the thing is, though, we're so similar in interest that, like, yeah, when I went to his house the first time, I was so excited about the video games. I was just like, oh my gosh, let's go. Let's play. This is awesome. Because I was in a very religious upbringing and we didn't get to have video games. So, for our first Valentine's Day, we got each other the exact same hardcover horror book. It was really, it's just like, this is meant to be. So,
yeah. I think it's a lot of it's, we just do a lot of stuff together. The tarantula stuff, I can say, I used to feel badly when I'd ask her to help me do something. Because it'd be like, I know you're doing this just because I'm asking you to do it, but she legitimately enjoys it. Like, if I go, hey, I want to rehouse, yeah, awesome, let me know. Like, there's no, there's never been a point where I felt like I'm like a burden on her. Like she's actually enjoying it too. So
absolutely.
I knew this one. When this one came up, we just kind of both giggled because we're like, oh God, here we go. How do we explain this and not sound like, you know, I'm just sitting there monopolizing all the time. I really don't. So good question. All right. Patty Grindley. Grindley or Grindley? I'm not sure which it is. So hopefully one of those was correct. Oh, Billy, I can't wait to see this.
You missed a question.
Which one?
Amy Alfred.
Oh, God. Oh, Amy. I'm sorry. All right. Patty, we're going to come back to you. I'm sorry. For some reason we did that one. Amy Allred, what is the craziest or funniest thing that's happened during filming one of the episodes?
The one that got away that escaped, was that, were we filming that or was that just a rehouse?
No, I think that was me on the dinner table trying to do some quick rehousings before dinner time.
Okay, so that is not really... Yes. Yeah. So that isn't really something that happened during filming, but it was something that happened that was crazy. This is like years and years ago. And I wasn't as much into it as I am now. So when he was rehousing the H. Pulker piece, it actually crawled, kind of didn't go where it was supposed to go and end up on the back of his pants.
For the record, it was like a 3/4-inch sling. Yeah. Well, the problem is you got called in after it happened. It was one of the few where it bolted and it went right up my, basically was on the table and I was afraid it was going to get out. So I put my hand down and it went onto my hand. I think probably the only time I can think of this ever happening.
Yes.
And again, it was because I remember clearly you were in there making dinner and I'm like, I got to get this stuff off the table quickly, which was mistake number one. And it was never a point like I had to keep my eyes on it. It was one of those things I didn't want to get away. So I put my hand down, it went right up my hand and then it stopped for a second. And when I went to go grab the cup, it went right up my arm, up my shoulder. And it was, I think on my back, down the back of my leg when you finally got it.
Yes. I had to, he's like, you have to, can you cut this tarantula? And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, but I cupped it. That was like the first tarantula I've ever cupped. And I got him into the catch cup and I'm like, oh, that was actually not too bad. It was really kind of it was an adorable little spider. And it was not very big. It was just, hey, hon, can you come help me for a minute?
Thank you. There's a spider, I'm pretty sure, on my back. Could you just cup it? Was it the only time that ever happened? And it was funny because it wasn't, even when it was happening, it was more kind of comical. Like, I can't believe this little booger's doing this. Because normally, you know, spider speed's no joke. They bolt and then they hit something and they stop. And if I remember correctly, I put something in front of it and usually they hit a corner and they stop and it went right up on over it. And it was just, this little booger did not want to stop, which is why I warn people when they get H. Pulker piece that they are very fastest slings. Because to date, that's the only one that got the best of me as far as a sling rehousing. I would point out the other one that happened, which was one of the only times we've ever stopped recording, was with the HMAC that Billy got very close to and with. That was the one time. I mean, it's funny because I've had people make comments before, like, you guys probably take all the ones that go wrong and edit them. But no, we put everything out there. I've always said that if something goes wrong, it's going out there because that's probably a better example or a better learning tool than the ones that go completely right. What happens when the thing doesn't go where it's supposed to? So if anything ever did go really wrong, we'd put the video out. We'd just have, knock on wood, very good luck with them. But there was one where we were moving an HMAC. And I had to tell Billy to drop the camera. I go, I need a hand for a second. Just drop the camera. And the HMAC started to come out and I had cardboard that was going to block it. Well, I didn't get the cardboard over the top in time. And Billy went up and grabbed it was the cardboard thing. I think you were trying to slide the cardboard in. And her hand at one point was like 3 inches from the spider. And I'm like, oh, and I thought I had made it clear it was an old world species. We always review what we're going to do beforehand. I explain, you know, this is how it could act. This is the potential it has. It is an old world, so keep away from it. And I think she was just so quick to help that she just grabbed the thing without thinking. And I'm like, oh God. And it was almost like when you're walking behind somebody and you realize they don't know you're there and you're not sure how to let them know without scaring the crap out of them. It was one of those situations where I didn't want to be like, get your hands away from it and scream and have her screw up. So I was just very calmly like, okay, just no, let that go and just move your hands away from it. And afterwards, I'm like, Billy, that was an HMAC. What are you doing? She's like, oh, I didn't realize it was an old world one. So that was kind of funny. And then afterwards we admired it. And luckily, you know, obviously it all went very well. And it was very calm at the time. It wasn't trying to bolt. It was just kind of perched there, but it was just how close she got to it and kind of freaked me out a little bit. So since then, that was several years ago. We've been a lot more explicit when we get into talking about, you know, beforehand and make it very clear. This is an old world. Don't go anywhere near it.
Right.
But that was, you know, and you love that spider now because you got very,
absolutely,
very close to that. Would have been I wouldn't have made it the video because my phone was sitting right on the table when it all happened. But we did an HMAC one again later on, and that one went really well. All right, now Patty's question. Sorry, Patty. Oh, Billy, I can't wait to see this. I have so many questions. Do you have any funny outtakes that you can't put on the YouTube? Mm-hmm. Tom sometimes warns you not to get too close, or there are times you did get too close. We just kind of covered that one. And what happened? What is the funniest, see more, thing that ever happened while shooting a video? Tom always seems so calm. Well, let's start the first, the outtakes. I'll let you take that.
Well, oh boy.
Tom has a potty mouth.
There's a lot of bad words that happen when things don't go right. And I'm not talking about with the spiders. I'm talking about when he's narrating the videos as we're shooting. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, I'm going to start over. So that's not really something you can put on YouTube because it would be quite obvious that every other word is not a good word. So,
and it's done in jest. It's not – I want to make it clear because we've had people ask before and it's just it's not the image. It's not what I'm doing. It's not – it's like – it's a weird situation where teaching, obviously you don't swear at all. I go into teaching mode when I do these videos, but sometimes you're in teaching mode, you're at home, you're with your wife, you're kind of joking around, so things get a little inappropriate. Not inappropriate, like just with the language. We just shot one, and Billy just shot one last week that she deserved some type of award for because we did three spiders and I was not on my game, and you can talk, that was a nightmare.
That was a nightmare.
Like, you were actually giving me looks at one point.
No, I was not. I was just like, my hands
were shaking. Well, your hands were shaking because I kept screwing it up. And then I would like, and then the problem is, I have a tendency to, when I screw up, I just say something ridiculously stupid that's usually profane. And then we go, all right, reset, and we do it again.
Right.
And unfortunately, one time it made it into a video, which was absolutely mortifying. I put a video up and I had muttered something under my breath and didn't hear it. I didn't have my earphones on when I was editing. I didn't hear it. But unfortunately, apparently people could hear it. And somebody's like, you know, Tom, I know you like to keep it family friendly, but I think you said a bad word at this point. It was, oh my God, I'll never forget. Like sitting there like, oh my God. So I took the video down. I edited the video out. But the bloopers, there is some stuff I've held on to that we will put up. The ones that, you know, funny things happen. I think some of our conversations in between get kind of amusing. But
yes,
the last one, I told Billy, I go, maybe we'll throw this up for kind of a joke. And then when I went to do the editing and I was like editing 8 things out of per video, I was like, forget it. This is kind of ridiculous. I need to stop doing that. But they would be... The only thing that would be make it funny is me probably out of character with the swearing. That's about it.
I think people would get a different appreciation for like how you are around here.
Yeah, I think a different appreciation is a nice way of putting it.
Yeah,
I think
different.
I think some people would be like, oh, wow, he's not such a stick in the mud. And then others would be like, this guy's a total jerk. And again, it's just when I do this stuff, it's teaching mode. It's not – I'm not trying to put on a different personality. It's when you're at school, you're not dropping, you know – 4-letter words or whatever. It's just at home, it's a little tough sometimes when you're sitting there in the midst of things, not kind of going off. So yeah, we maybe someday we'll get some of the good ones up there that aren't, you know, ridiculous. We have had some funny, every once in a while something funny will happen, but mostly they go they're pretty standard. Really not a lot goes on that isn't shown in the videos.
Yeah.
What's the funniest thing that ever happened while shooting a video? As Bruce snorts, there we go. Bruin's background.
Yeah, Bruce is right next to me. He's sleeping on our bed. He's just enjoying this. I don't know. What's the funniest thing that's ever happened?
I don't know. We kind of crack ourselves up all the time, but I don't know.
There's not really anything that's not, I mean, we keep pretty much the conversations in that are funny.
Yeah, again, I think it comes down to the only thing I usually cut out is if I screw up a line or I'll go through and sometimes I get tongue-tied and say something the wrong way and I'll trim that. But mostly the majority of our videos, you see 99% to 100% of what happens to it. So unfortunately, there's not really a lot all that funny. The one getting out of my leg was funny, but we weren't filming that. We'll think about that when we come back.
Yeah.
Tom always seems so calm while caring for his tarantulas. Has he ever screamed like a little girl when one surprised him?
You missed like way. There's Tom warns you get too close. That's
part of the question. I thought we talked about that. That was with the HP.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha. Never mind. Sorry. Just get rid of that part. He has never screamed at all. He's so calm and collected. And yeah, nothing really surprises him. Sometimes it surprises me and I'm like, okay, let me make sure I'm filming this the right way because I'm, it's tough when you're looking through the lens of the camera, but you're also not looking through the lens of the camera because you want to see like an overall view of it. So sometimes when something shocking happens or unexpected, the camera might go a little bit out of the view for 2 seconds until I'm like, oh, that's right, I gotta film this. But that's usually just me being startled. Tom is usually right on point. He's never, ever screamed like a girl. I don't think he's ever screamed like a girl in my entire life that I've been with him, actually.
No, I don't think I'm really a screamer.
No, you're definitely not a screamer.
That's terrible. I'm not. That one out. It's usually I'm so hyper focused on what's going on that it's just, you just react. And again, I always have it in my mind. Worst case scenario, the tarantula gets out and bolts across the table. So you plan on that. You work for it. So I think there's, when you've done it enough times, there's not too much that surprises you. You get like a wall, like every once in a while, like somebody will throw up a threat pose, or I went to drop in a cricket and the spider bolted out and took it right from the thongs. That would be a totally different story. The tongs, and it startled me, but I'm not a lot of screaming. And as far as Billy getting too close, those I leave in because it's kind of funny. I never cut those out. You'll hear every once in a while. It's funny that somebody picked up on that. I've never had anybody mention it before, that every once in a while when she's recording, you'll be going, oh, I'll back up a little bit. Because she gets right in there. She does such a good job getting in close with it. A lot of the shots, it looks like she's zooming. She's actually really close. And luckily, you know, it's usually me standing there getting ready to kind of push her back a little bit if something should go wrong. But we've done enough of these. I think she's even starting to recognize the body language. So there's really, sadly, there's not much. I think the last time we posted up any of the outtakes, it was for the feeding. The feeding videos get funny. Those are the ones where we're usually losing it. And I've gotten really punchy. She's gotten punchy. Because you're just taking spider after spider out, and they're never eating for me. So those, you know, next time I do one of those, I do have some outtakes from the last one we did. We can put some of those up. But sorry, there's not all that much that doesn't make it in as far as that's concerned, I don't think.
Nope.
All right, next one. James Ernst. Hi, Billy. Were you always so supportive of the hobby and willing to help with the filming backing Tom up on the rehouses, or did it take some time to work up to that? Also, do you keep any species yourself?
I was always supportive, always. I think originally Roan was filming and he was sniffing and...
Roan doesn't believe in tissues.
He doesn't think blowing your nose works.
What's the point of blowing your nose when it just fills back up with snot again? The kid's a bright kid, but he's got his weird little things.
And I'm just like, blow your nose. So anyway, I started helping out after...
I can tell you exactly which one it was, too.
After one that was particularly annoying. I say Amala. I'm so sorry. Wow. I got to see if I can not do that anymore.
Your first one was the Oviolossopis, because it was the first fast old world I was doing. I was going to have to dig it out. And at that point, I think we had moved to Sid doing it. And Sid was good, but Sid wants to be a YouTuber.
So yes.
Sid made herself known in the videos, which was adorable. And we look back and now it's so cute because she's got the little squeaky voice. Like, hey, Dad, did this happen? Which was adorable. But it came to the point where I didn't feel safe having the kids there with some of these rehousing. So I was like, hey, I was the one more, I think, not against it, but I was more embarrassed to have to do this in front of Billy. This was before she would, like, if you look at my original videos, I would sneak off into my tarantula room, close the door, and be like, hey, this is Tom Moran. This is my friend, this, Cancerides. Spider. And they're terrible. And it was because I didn't want her to hear me, because it was embarrassing sitting there filming my videos like a little kid in the room. But when I asked you to do it, you're like, yeah, no problem. When? What do we do?
Oh, yeah.
It was never even a moment's hesitation. And I went back and watched that video the other day, and you can tell I'm just like awkward, even more so than usual, because it was your first one recording it. And I'm like, this is so weird. We're sitting out. We were in the garage. That was the one in the garage.
Oh, boy.
It was one of the ones
that
actually bolted a little bit. It was an interesting video to go back to, because it was huge. That was the turning point of you doing it from then on. But I didn't want you to – there was a couple reasons I didn't – like the big reason was the fact that I felt embarrassed doing this in front of you. I've always been very – you know, people think I'm being humble when I say I feel like a goober doing this. I do – there are moments where I sit there like I'm making videos like my kids all in high school, my students all do this. And that was embarrassing. And then part of it was I always liked the tarantula guy, and he always had his wife filming, and I didn't want it to look like we were copying that. It was like, all right, I love that stuff. You couldn't top that. They had such great banter. And I'm like, I don't want anybody to think that I'm sitting there going, look it, I'm going to be him now, because it's not what we wanted to do. So we had the kids doing it for a while, but then it got to a point, it's like, all right, we need our help.
Yeah.
And now here we are. It's been like, I think, 5 years of you doing it.
Yeah.
Now I couldn't go back to doing it. Like, you look at those old videos. They are terrible. I always joke, I can't believe anybody ever looked at those and went, oh, this guy's really good. So great question. All right, next one. Adam Bradford. On the ride that is the hobby, were you the white knuckles dreading the next drop or twist, or were you hands in the air cheering for more?
I was, again, I was always supportive, and I was, I pretty much am like really, I think, easy to deal with as far as, Tom can do whatever he wants as far as hobbies and, you know,
you
getting more
folks.
Tarantulas. Yeah, I'm just like, you just do whatever you want. It's fine. Yeah, so I've always been, especially now, I mean, It's kind of just, we're all in. So yeah, I'm always been cheering for more.
Yeah, I would say that. And there's a question later on, I think, that'll cover more of that and how much in you are now. Next one, Corey Lee. I can't wait for this. Billy, have you ever wished Tom was more into dogs or something with less legs like yarn? How do you balance family time, friendships, and having a partner with such a unique hobby? Do you have any passions that you have, Seymour, that you have Tom film for you? Nope.
Okay. Tom is into dogs, actually. He is into all kinds of animals. And I know eventually he wants to get some goats, but he's up in the tarantula room, but then he comes down and he's on the couch and he's got a dog on one side and a dog on the other. And yeah, we have four of them and he loves our dogs. And we, you know, that's just, he's into every kind of critter. So I'm probably the one you need to calm down with the dogs, because we'd probably have eight if it was up to me. But right now we have four, and he's into all kinds of animals. It's not just tarantulas. How do I balance family life, friendships, and having a partner with such a unique hobby? I have no idea. That's probably a question for you.
We don't really socialize all that much, honestly.
No,
it's more me. I'm like a social invert. I do all my socializing at school. I'm dealing with people all day long, and I go home and I recharge. So I just have the family around me and the dogs. But so there's not a lot of that. We do a lot of hanging out, watching movies and stuff here. You do work your butt off. I mean, as far as, you know, work, you're always doing something.
I'm totally happy with how things are. I wouldn't want it any other way. And any passions, again, I don't think I would want him filming anything. I thought about maybe eventually doing a YouTube channel for cooking, to help people learn how to cook, because I enjoy it so much. And usually the things I make are not super complicated, but they come out really well. So I was thinking at some point down the road to, you know, doing a YouTube channel teaching people how to cook. But that's not right now.
Good one. All right, next one. Shannon Hunt. Do you ever feed the teas? What's your favorite part of feeding videos?
I don't feed teas. I just take care of the feeders that were feeding the teas. We have crickets and roaches, and I maintain them, give them carrots and grind up their food. My favorite part of the feeding videos is when something goes off the rails and the spider doesn't actually do what it's supposed to, and it's funny, so it gets really crazy, and then part of the personality, Tom's personality can come out a little bit more in videos when things don't go right and things get funny, and I think that's my favorite part, when things don't actually go the right way.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. That's usually, and the feeding videos, if something's going to go wrong, it's during our feeding videos. They're
yes,
terrible. people come on and be like, oh, that's great. If you see 10 spiders featured in that video, we probably fed 100. It's that bad. And we just start getting, like, we get, oh, Formictopus has never failed me. I throw it in, the Formictopus kicks the cricket out of the container. It never fails. So those are the ones where we have the most fun. Those are the ones where we kind of, hate to use the term break character, but it's kind of hard to sit there and be all teacherly when something like that, you know, you're doing a feeding video, you're feeding giant spiders, and you're getting all giddy and silly over it.
Right.
All right. Next one. Are we on
Emily?
Oh, look at you. Emily, oh gosh, Geddes. I'm going to pronounce
it
every way. Maybe. Emily, I'm so sorry. I feel like I just butchered your name. Do you have any collections of your own? Are there any other kinds of pets that you want to have? Oh, I know this one. Do you have any fun stories that Tom hasn't talked about?
I don't really have any collections of my own, just because Tom's several collections. So he is totally a hoarder. Oh my gosh.
It's not
cleaning out the old house.
It's not.
You have empty boxes, dude.
It's not because of me. You say it like I'm preventing you to do it.
No, not at all.
You don't collect. You make fun of me.
I don't collect.
You don't get the collect thing. I would take all that stuff and I would throw it away. If we're cleaning the house, I would just throw it all away. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like, I've had this stuff since I was, yeah. So don't. you do that. And then it's like, I think people think I'm like filling the whole house and going, no, you can't hoard either.
Oh, no, no. I could totally be a hoarder if I wanted to be a hoarder. Because yes. Tom would be like, oh, good. You could be like me.
Yeah, we'd be.
Filled. I don't have collections on my own because I'd rather have less of everything. So I don't save boxes. I don't save. If I can get rid of it, I will get rid of it. I'd rather have more room to walk around and not have stuff stacked up. So
like books.
I do not have.
Like your book. Yeah, like no, to point to an example, like I have every book I've ever owned, I think, still. You will read books and go, yeah, we can donate those.
Yep, absolutely.
Like she doesn't hold on to things. She doesn't get sentimental. I, on the other hand.
Well, if it's a book you gave me, I keep it.
Well, I know, but I'm saying like I still have all my little paperbacks, like everything. I just pulled out a book that I had in third grade. You know, it's.
And it probably didn't have any creases. And it and when you open it up, it's only opened up partially.
I'm a collector. I think keep things in mint condition.
Absolutely. Any of the kind of pets that I want to have. We have the dogs. I really, really like dogs. If I could have cats, I would. Let me think. I like chickens, actually. I love chickens, but I don't think this is a – we don't have the greatest setup for them. I mean, we could have them if we wanted to. I always loved chickens. As a kid, I had pet chickens. They would sit on my lap, and I loved them. Let's see. But I mean, I'm pretty satisfied now with the pet situation. Do any fun stories that Tom hasn't talked about? I don't think so. Not really. You pretty much talk. Do you have any fun stories on?
I don't think. Not they're appropriate for this.
Yeah, right. No, exactly.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, is there anything like it almost all makes it in.
It's, yeah, I agree.
The only thing we ever do is leave a camera up in between the stuff because that's when stuff gets silly. But there's not. I don't think there's any good ones. Sadly. Sorry. I feel like we're going to disappoint everybody because they're all looking for dirt and there's really not too much.
There really isn't.
All right, next one, Jeremy Chaplin. Billy, are there any species that Tom does not have yet that you've suggested he get? How involved would you say you are in the process of picking new orders? This one's definitely changed a bit in the last year or so, year and a half, 2 years.
So I actually will surprise Tom and go get a bunch of spiders, and I try to get ones he doesn't have. I think I, like what, a couple weeks ago, right? A couple weeks ago? I picked out quite a few tarantulas that he didn't own, and you know, just I said, hey, I got some tarantulas coming for you, and I had to give him the number so he could get the cages ready, of course. So
if you feel badly, just go put on some of my first videos.
Oh gosh,
years of practice doing this.
Okay. And I'm very involved in the process of picking new orders. I pretty much just get whatever I think he wants, and he's like, yay, thank you so much. And yeah, so I think I've probably ordered more tarantulas than he has in the past 2 years.
I think you're probably right. I haven't done as many. She's been really good at picking stuff up. She obviously could look and see what I have, but picks up some stuff, listens to things that I say that I want, sometimes researches ones, goes, oh, this would be a neat one that he could get. But she's surprised. She was the one that got the Zanesta species. Yep. As far as I'd mentioned, you know, someday I got to get one of these. She was the one that picked those up. I was always too cheap, and she picked them up. And obviously, we see where that's gone. I've got them all now and absolutely adore the genus. But yeah, I'd say you've taken a huge lead in that as of late, which is fun. I mean, and again, just to be clear, I've always made a big point of doing your research before you ever pick anything up. And that's obviously important, but it's at a point now where the majority of – she's looking up a species, it's something I've already researched on or something that I know enough about. That it's not like I'm getting stuff here going, oh, God, I have no idea how to work with this. She will let me know if she's getting me something, you know, exotic. And there's been a couple times where it's like, ooh, I better do my research on this. But that's been fun. It's been kind of like my own little mystery boxes.
Absolutely.
All right, next one. Oh, here you go. Here's the one you're waiting for.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Nathan Holcomb. Do you feel any conflict in emotion being somebody that owns so many tarantulas and exotics and be an exterminator by profession? She gets a lot of crap from us here with that.
So this is a great question. I am an animal lover, and I mean I love all animals, all critters. I don't like killing things. So when I go into a house or I'm doing an inspection, I actually try to tell people, seal this opening. Do this, do that, so they can not have the critters come in, mice and, you know, ants and whatnot. And my company that I work for is all about IPM, which is integrated pest management, which means if there's an opening, seal it up so the critters can't get inside. With spiders in particular, gosh, I gotta stop doing that. With spiders in particular, a lot of the treatments we use, they're ingestible for insects. So insects like ants have antenna and they use that to feel. So when they clean their antenna, they're getting a lethal dose of insecticide. Spiders don't do that. So my theory is if we can get rid of the insects, the spiders will actually vacate the house and go outside and live. And if I'm in somebody's house and I see a spider and I actually pick it up and put it outside, I won't kill it. As strange as that is. And I try to tell people, oh, you have spiders. Oh, they're nature's pest control. If we can take care of the insects, the spiders will naturally vacate the house. So I do feel emotionally conflicted because we do pest control as far as like rodents too. And we had a pet rat for years. I mean, I like animals in general, but mice do create health risks for people, especially people with asthma. I mean, they pee everywhere, they poop everywhere. They're a pest that will get into somebody's house and you'll smell urine in the house. So it's not good. And it's bad for people breathing. Same thing with roaches. And I feel bad about killing roaches, you know, German cockroaches. I'm not about that at all. But I do have some conflict, like, you know, it's a very fine line. And if I've been doing pest control for 20 years and I am the service manager I work, so I don't have to do a lot of hands-on killing of animals, but I do, when I go into a house, I do try to give advice as far as making sure people do what they can to keep the pest out rather than have to kill them. So there is some conflict. I absolutely will remove a spider from someone's house rather than killing it. I do.
Yeah, we give her a hard time for it all the time. My son Rowan really gets it. I mean, I think we understand, obviously, there is a purpose for it. There's a need for it. And it's, you know, it's just the irony of the fact that known for keeping tarantulas and different creepy crawlies, and that's what she ends up exterminating, is not lost on us. Let's just say that. But, I mean, obviously, she's come home, told me stories of, like, trying to convince people that, no, the spiders in your basement are totally okay. And they're like, oh, well, okay, I guess we'll leave them there. So I think she does her part to try to change some of the awareness, some of the outlooks, even with bees, trying to talk people out of, you know, instead of exterminating or spraying for bees, remove the flowered plants that are all around your house that are attracting the bees in the first place, things like that. So I think it has made her more minded to trying to save the animals when possible. But there's also the realism that she goes into some places where there's bed bugs, where they're, you know, they have children and it's infested with roaches or mice, and then it becomes a health issue. So I think in that respect, you just got to kind of put it in perspective and realize these aren't the cute little ones that are well maintained and well fed in cages. These are wild animals or bugs that are, quite frankly, harmful to people.
Right.
But we do give you a lot of hard time.
Yes, you do.
It's kind of fun. Tell them, you know who we are, Billy? We're Tom's Big Spiders. You can't be out there killing spiders, and which is a running joke in the house. So,
yeah.
All right, next one. Oh, boy, this is a humdinger. Melissa Fujimoto. Hey, Melissa. Hi, Billy. Thank you for being so wonderful, loving, and supportive of Tom. I say that all the time. Big heart. I was wondering if you might have a background in agriculture with relation to insects and pests. If not, would you ever entertain the thought of focusing on an adjacent field of study? A goodly amount of entomologist folks, including exterminators, work with farmers and AG companies and conservation programs. It's an incredible field. Do you ever do extension? How do you explain what your husband does to non-arthropod friendly folks, or do you slip past that part of his life? So I could probably break it down. I'll let you answer the first part, which would be, it's no.
No. I do service an account that, we do a lot of agricultural locations, but as far as my job goes, I've been doing this in this company for 20 years. So there's not really a lot of time for me to branch out. And at my age, I'm kind of just set in what I'm doing right now. So I'm not really looking to experiment. Pretty happy where I am right now.
I think part of it is just your region is not particularly... It's not suited. There's not a lot of agriculture around here.
So no, there's not a lot of agriculture here.
Farms here and there, and there's, you know, a college that has the cows and everything. But as far as the agriculture aspect of it, it's not as big in this area because it's so developed. It's more urban type stuff for the most part, right?
Right.
Businesses and
absolutely.
How do you explain what your husband does to non-arthropod friendly folks, or do you slip past that part of his life? That one you can definitely.
I'm pretty much open. I mean, everybody knows that. My husband people that I work with, they know that I'm married to Tom, and that I probably don't get into as much because I have a very small office. So I have seven techs and a CSR that works with me and my boss, and that's about it. So it's not really a – usually when I'm at work, it's crunch time. It's not – there's not a lot of friendly talk, especially with the whole COVID thing. It's like everybody just stays in their own office and, you know, just puts their nose to the grindstone. So I have pictures of tarantulas in my office. So anybody that – everybody knows what I'm involved in.
Next one, how many coworkers have tarantulas thanks to your husband and your excited relaying of tarantula goings-on at your home? Yeah, get on this, Billy. What's going on there? Meet the people she works with. This is one of these ones where there's no diplomatic way to really approach it, but they're just not tarantula people.
They're definitely not tarantula people.
Good group of people. But just in each in their own way, just not like they're the type of people that would, you know, start with a how could you do this? Or they wouldn't be interested. And then when you got them interested, it would be a passing interest. I don't know how to politely do this.
Yeah, that's about right. I would totally agree with that.
Good dude, totally good dudes, but just no interest whatsoever. Like it's
No interest.
We've had more interest from people coming into our homes to do like work, like plumbers and cable guys and stuff. They sometimes are like, you know, what do you got here?
The furnace guy.
Yeah. The furnace guy, he was like, he thought that was great. Some of the people we get over, but it's funny because her guys, they've known this for years and there's no big, I don't think anybody's ever going to be a keeper.
Nope. 100% not.
And again, I don't want it to, this, it's just hard to explain without getting into each of their personalities, but just, I would be shocked if any of them ever picked up a hobby. But she does talk, I mean, you've talked about it with people, you know, in their houses. I know
I pretty much when I every time I go into a house, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I have tarantulas at home. Really? And I'm like, are they all in the same cage? That's the biggest question. Are they all in the same cage? Yep. No, they're not all in the same cage. No.
And then usually trying to explain that they're not all brown.
They're not all brown.
After years of doing this, that everybody pitches, oh, I thought you just had a bunch of brown spiders. So great question, Melissa. Thank you so much. Next one, Gina Lear. Hi, Billy. Was it hard being supportive of the tarantula hobby at first? I know Tom said you didn't object outwardly, but what were you thinking internally?
It was not hard at all. I have always been completely supportive. I am into it. I think it's fascinating. Inwardly, I'm like, this is super cool. I have always found this. I've always found animals in general fascinating. And even before, I mean, when we had 25 years ago, if there was a spider in the house, I would have to be the one to pick it up and remove it outside because nobody wanted to touch the things. We were totally freaked out. Not that they wanted to kill them because we don't kill anything at all in the house ever. But I've always totally been into whatever kind of critter he wanted to keep, whether it's snakes or spiders or scorpions, centipedes are probably the one thing that
Not a fan of the peds.
Not really super stoked about those. Not that I would say get rid of those things. I just think they're a little disturbing. So of all the things he has, the centipedes probably creep me out, if anything. And assassin bugs. When you have the assassin bugs, those are just, that's not my thing. But not that I'm like, oh, they're cool. But it's not like the tarantulas I find much more endearing than the centipedes or the assassin bugs. But yeah, I've always been 100% supportive and I never objected at all.
Yeah, I would say 100%. I think I get a lot of people that are like, how did you convince her? And they don't get, I never convinced. There was never a point. It wasn't even something I ever considered I would have to convince. It was kind of like, oh yeah, she was sitting right behind me when I was doing the research when we, you know, started finding out how many species were out there and everything. And she was immediately like, wow, look at that. I remember showing a picture of, the C. lividus was one of the first ones to pull up. Like, they have blue ones. And then we saw a picture of the P. metallica, and we both thought it was Photoshopped. And she was right there with me the whole time. So it's never – I don't think anybody – some people don't believe it. And they're like, no, but seriously, how'd you convince her? Like, there were no reservations. It was just kind of like, we're doing this. So
– yep.
Unless there's something you weren't telling me, which I didn't think so.
I'm pretty much – I'll speak my mind. So if I have a problem with something, believe me, he'll be the first to know. I've always been totally into it.
All right. Next one. Unfortunately, Derek Witcher, I believe it is, would like to know your favorite tea. We covered that one. And yep. Then Andrew Perez, Coke or Pepsi?
Oh, Coke, 100%. Come on. Yeah,
this is a Coke household. Except I like Mountain Dew, which is obviously Pepsi. So, and my grandmother used to have Pepsi all the time. So I actually like Pepsi.
Pepsi is really so gross.
My go-to is Mountain Dew. It's all the same. RC Cola all the way. And it looks like that is it. I'm just going to refresh here. Let's see. Yeah, so I think we covered them all. You know somebody's going to come in like right after the fact.
No, of course.
I don't see if you're not seeing any more on your end. I think you just got
through
this. I am
not seeing any more.
Now, I'm panicking because I am using the software that's recording this. And although it has a record button, it doesn't have a stop button. And I'm terrified that I'm going to lose this whole thing. So let's pray that doesn't happen. So thanks so much for Billy, obviously, for all the help and support over the years. I couldn't do this Tom's Big Spider stuff without it. She edits my, you know, even from the beginning with just the website, you were editing my articles, you're listening to me talk about spiders nonstop, doing all the videos. So obviously, thanks so much for that.
Of course.
And hopefully this will satisfy some people that have been thinking I've been keeping her in the shadows. There's nothing to do with that. It's just we try to, you know, we're in the videos. We're always there. We're always muttering things in the background. But the idea
is laughing.
Or laughing, just the laughing part. But it's always for us been about the spiders. It's not about Tom and Billy's life. It's about these are spiders. If we can make it a little more entertaining, bantering in the background, so be it. But that's why she's not always on. But kind of appropriate, I think, that she's the first quote-unquote guest on this. So it looks like, you know, if you guys are hearing this, it all went well and our little experiment went great. And we will continue going ahead. If you're not hearing this, we're going to both be crying as we take the dogs for a walk in a minute because we just spent over an hour talking and nobody's ever going to hear what we said. So,
yeah.
As always, you know, that's it for this one. Thanks so much to Billy. Maybe we'll get her on again sometime. Thank you to all of you who were kind enough to submit questions. That made this very easy to do. I was writing some down before. I was like, wait a minute, why don't I just throw this up on Facebook? I'm sure people have some things they want to ask. So thank you so much for that. That'll do it for this episode. As always, you can find me on thomsbigspiders.com or you can find me on YouTube under Tom's Big Spiders. Stay safe and we'll catch you guys all next time. Is that Brew grunting in the background?
Yep. Yeah.